Hi, I'm Zach Hunter, Sports Information Director for the BYU Men's Track and Field Team. I've had the privilege of working with many of the 9 current and former BYU Cougars headed to the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. These former BYU athletes headed to the Olympics have unique qualities and values that they have learned in their time in the BYU athletic system that can apply to anyone and help in everybody's own journey through life. Today we sit down with Whitney Morgan. This is Cougar Gold.
When an injury comes, like, yeah, it sucks. You know, like, you're sad, you go through the roller coaster of, like, emotion that comes with it, but at the end of the day, like, the decision has always been the same, like, I'm gonna come back from this because I want to be resilient and I want to be someone that, like, never gives up.
Whitney Morgan is one of the most resilient runners around. Growing up in the small town of Panguitch, Utah, Whitney chose BYU to continue her running career. It all culminated in 2021, where she won the NCAA Cross Country Championships, taking the individual title. Her story is one of faith and determination as she has battled many injuries in her collegiate and professional career. After obtaining another injury last fall and having surgery, Whitney bounced back and placed 5th at the 2024 U.S. Olympic Trials in the 5K. Due to the shakeups in the competition field, Whitney was selected to the Team USA roster and will be competing in Paris. Whitney is such a strong athlete and a remarkable person. It was great to sit down with her and talk about her perspective she has with all the highs and lows that an Olympian goes through. Here's my conversation with Whitney Morgan. I am so excited to talk with you, Whitney, today. We are here with Whitney Morgan. She is an Olympian, and she's a former BYU distance runner. Thanks for being here, Whitney.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Okay, so you are set to run in the 5K at the Olympics in Paris in just under a month. And so that wasn't originally in the plans a couple of weeks ago. At the trials, you placed 5th, and so they usually take the top 3. But due to scratches and everything, that you were able to be selected to the team. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We'll talk about kind of the trials themselves and kind of what the mindset was like there. But we really just want to get to know you. And so let's dive into, how did you get into running in the first place?
I got into running just when I was super young. In Panguitch, you do tons of sports, and I just always liked racing.
You were like a multi-sport athlete, right?
Yeah, lots of sports.
What sports did you do?
I did basketball, volleyball, cross country, and track.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it was really fun though. I wouldn't change it.
Was track like the main one, or what were you into the most?
I was more into basketball was my absolute favorite. So when I was young, that's what I would practice is basketball. Which is kind of funny when I think back on it, because I did always do like a little bit of running stuff. I think, I don't know if it's just because I liked to like work out. I liked to like work my body even when I was young. Like I would sometimes just go run around the block for fun and like race my brother or something.
That's like weird a normal stuff. Kid's like punishment. Is your friends like, go, you got too much energy right now.
Yeah.
But you would just go do that.
Yeah, I remember doing it with my brother and like little moments like that. I'm like, huh, I did always like to run, but I was always focused on basketball. Like, that's always what I was, like, dreaming of. And I worked really hard on basketball.
What position did you play?
I was a point guard, so.
You were a shooter?
Yep.
Can you still shoot?
I like to think so. But I do not play, like, ever. So every once in a while I'll go play and I'm like, woo, got some luck. I'm getting lucky out here.
You'll have to get some pointers from Jimmer out there on his 3x3.
Seriously.
So you did a lot of sports growing up. Was it like the expectation in the Orton household was like, hey, everybody does sports, or like you just fell in love with it on your own?
Yeah, I definitely looked up to my older siblings. They all did sports. So I had I still have 3 older sisters and an older brother and a younger brother, and we all did sports. And so it wasn't like I felt like I had to, but we all just really loved them. So it was just really fun for us.
Competitive at all with the siblings, or?
Extremely competitive.
I mean, you're the only Olympian in your household.
True. I could hold that over them, I guess. But yeah, no, I definitely like I always looked up to my older sister Oakley a lot, and she was like a star in Penguich in basketball and lots of sports. Like, she was incredible and so competitive, so hardworking. And so I feel like I like learned a lot from her when I was young, and I just looked up to her. Like, I would talk to the high school basketball coach when I was like in like, I don't even know how young I was, probably like 10 years old or younger. And my sister was playing in high school basketball, and I'd be like, I want the same basketball number as Oakley, and like all these things. And I just really looked up to her. But
that's so cool. I think it's fun to have like a family that's all kind of in it together. My family was really into track and field. And so like, it's cool to all be nerding out about the same things. And that's kind of fun that you had that with sports a little bit. Yep. Talk about Penguich with me. Penguich, Utah, it's a tiny town, right?
Yes, it's very, very tiny.
What do you do in Penguich, like, for fun growing up?
It's so funny. People ask this all the time. They think it's, like, this foreign land, which it kind of is. I guess it's, like, in the middle of nowhere, kind of in its own place. But it's super pretty. Lots of good people. You know everybody. You know, everyone knows you. And I don't know. It was just really fun. You have to be a little bit creative. Like, me and my friends would do some random things. Like, I have a cousin, and she's, like, fearless. And I wouldn't ride, but I would encourage her to ride, like, a wagon down a mountain or something. Like, we would do weird stuff, like, or, like, mattress surfing. We'd pull it with the car, or, like, hunting animals or looking for sheds. I didn't really enjoy that, but I do it for, like,
looking
dates.
For sheds, like an outdoor, like an old shed.
No, sheds are like antlers, like for deer and
so
stuff.
Dumb.
But like, I wasn't into it, but like sometimes I'd go on dates and do that kind of thing. Like, that's what the guys all like to do is like go look for like antlers that the deer would like,
would
just fall off. Yeah, they'd shed off their heads, I guess.
You think from my last name is Hunter, you think I would know this?
You
my
should know.
Grandpa is probably very sad that I don't know what shedding antlers is.
Yes, you.
But
now
the
you
guys
know.
Would just
now
be
know.
Like, "Let's go check out antlers." That is so fun. That is like the perfect small town thing.
Yep. It can. There's so much more. But yeah.
Growing up, did Lots you like in like a small town like that? Did you ever like think, "Oh man, like I'm gonna go be an Olympian one day"? We were talking with Courtney the other day, and she was saying, she's like, "I would watch the Olympics, but I didn't have like a moment until it." And she had it in like a high school. She was like, "I'm gonna be an Olympian," and she said, and like her parents were like, "For sure." Did you have a moment in, or maybe not even Olympic related, but a moment in high school or something competing where you're like, man, I could go to another higher level in this?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I ever was like, yes, I can be an Olympian. That seemed very untouchable. Nobody from Penguich has done that before. Or like, so anyone with my same background, like that's not something that, it's just like common, you know? And I feel like we kind of like fall into the life that we like grew up into, or like what we know, you know? And so I didn't really like, I didn't know of that. A lot of people didn't really go to college and do sports a ton. Like, it was rare. It did happen. Like, there was my track coach's son went and did track at UVU. And so that's almost where I was going to go, was UVU. And then there was another few girls that went to and played basketball and stuff in our town. But like, it was pretty rare to do that. So I didn't like have that dream. I didn't think that it was attainable. So everything that I've accomplished, I feel like has been a surprise, which is kind of fun too, you know, just kind of working hard and just seeing what happens. And it pushes you pretty far if you just focus on that, I think. But
you kind of just get lost in the process, and then whatever results kind of happen, they happen.
Yep. And just an element of surprise all the time, which I love, which is like one of the things I love the most about athletics is just like surprising myself. And I feel like that's kind of what the whole journey has been. Obviously a lot of hardship too, but the surprise is what makes it really fun, I think.
I do want to talk about why you chose BYU. So you were leaning UVU because of your coach in high school. What made you choose BYU?
Yeah, it was kind of like a very last second thing. That Coach Shane, he's the one that recruited me. So that was his last year of recruiting, and then he wasn't the coach again. So then it was Coach Taylor. But so she didn't recruit me, but Coach Shane recruited me kind of late in the cross, my senior year of cross country. And I was kind of already like planning on UVU. And so he hadn't talked to me at all. So that's kind of probably why I wasn't looking at BYU, because I hadn't talked to them. But, and then I went on a visit here to BYU, and he came and did a home visit and stuff. And it was just like really special. Like, I did not want to go to BYU. I've heard like the stigmas, you know, of BYU. There are some, and some people like really are just all into BYU, and some people aren't. But I don't know. I just didn't feel like it was my place until I came on a visit. And then I was like, whew, this is a very special place. And it just felt so right. And yeah, so that's what got me here. There's some things you could probably cut out of that and make it sound better.
I think that's great. So when you got here, Coach Taylor, she's your new coach. You hadn't met her. What was that first kind of initial moments with her, or those first couple of weeks adjusting to the program and to her and the team?
Well, I actually came in injured, so I was like, I was hanging out with just a few of the injured girls mainly. I did get to know her a little bit, but she was more with like the team that was healthy. So even at camp, like the first camp, I was like, me and Brittany Lund, we were two injured freshmen, and we kind of just hung out and biked really, really hard in this random gym in Park City together. So that was my initial experience with BYU, was camp there. And yeah, my first like fall season, I was just cross training. So I wasn't really with the team. So that was an interesting way to like come into the program. But yeah, after that, it's just been really fun. Yeah, just really fun to get to know Coach T. And your question exactly was what?
I think you covered it. It was just kind of your initial start into the program. You were injured. Probably not like the dream scenario in high school of like, oh, I'm joining a Division I program, and then right off the bat, you're just like stuck in a tiny room biking with one other girl. Probably not the ideal.
Yes. And I do remember just like, I came in with like a, this is crazy mentality that I'm even here. Like, I felt like I really needed to prove myself. My PRs were not the greatest on the team, not even close. I definitely just felt like I had to like work my tail off to even make it. Like, I was like, I don't know, just like that element of surprise again. Like, I worked as hard as I could because I knew that I felt a little over my head, but I'm like, I'm just going to give it my best and see. And I ended up like doing some pretty crazy things for myself, like PRing like crazy my freshman year. Like, I think I PR'd in my mile by like 25 seconds or something.
Gosh.
And so like, it was just kind of like a really crazy year, and that's coming off of injury too. So I was like, I don't know. It's all been a surprise the whole time, but consistently like trying to keep a humble mindset and like work hard and always know there's someone better than you, and just working towards that. But
and you, well, you've had a lot of injuries too, Whitney. Like, I was reading you had like 9 injuries, is that right? Like, throughout your, I guess, up until this point.
I've lost count, honestly. I feel like there's more than that. I've counted, I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah.
At least 9.
So, and that's something that a lot of people, like amateur athletes that are listening, or just anyone who just does sports, they get injured all the time. Injuries is a natural kind of part of signing on to do this kind of thing. For you, when you get an injury and you're like, okay, I have this, what is your mindset like?
It's definitely changed throughout the years, because the more injuries you get, you know, you learn new things and learn how to approach them differently. But I feel like now I know that I'm capable of coming back from them. So it's just like committing to the work you're going to have to do. It's going to be a lot of like not fun work, like all the cross training. It's a lot of just grind. It's grind, you know, to come back from an injury. So I feel like just knowing that's what it is and just working as hard as you can to get back is kind of the mindset now. But I know that I can do it. I've come back so many times. So there's a lot of confidence there for me.
So now that when you enter it, you're like, okay, I have this injury, but I've been here before and I know what to do. So that kind of can build your confidence. I've seen that personally in my life where, you go through a hard time and but you know that will prepare you for the next one a little bit. I think sometimes athletes, or at least high school athletes, a lot that I've interacted with at the high school meets and those things, a lot of judgment. They throw themselves a lot of judgment. I had a good race. I'm a good person. I had a bad race. I'm a bad person. I have an injury. This is bad, right? Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced kind of like labeling in that way or anything like that?
I'm trying to think. I don't know if I can. I'm sure that I have. I'm sure that I have. I'm just trying to think. It's maybe not labeling, but just like, am I supposed to be doing this if I keep getting injured? You know, like I'm just trying to like live the life I'm supposed to. You know, whatever God's will is for me, I'm just kind of trying to live that. And sometimes when you get injured a lot, you're like, okay, is this like my sign to maybe be done? That's a lot of times the question I have when I get injured for a second. But something that I've really like to my core want to be as a human being is like resilient. Like, it means a lot to me to be a resilient person. I think it's important just in life, not even just in running. If you can be resilient despite what happens to you and your adversities in life, because there's so much adversity. So like, I feel like coming back from injury has taught me to be resilient. And so when an injury comes, like, yeah, it sucks. You know, like you're sad, you go through the roller coaster of like emotion that comes with it. But at the end of the day, like the decision has always been the same. Like, I'm going to come back from this because I want to be resilient and I want to be someone that like never gives up. Or if I do, if it is my time, like it's because I chose it, not because like the injury made me choose, you know.
You want it to be on your terms. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. How have teammates played a role in kind of that journey?
Yeah, I've had some incredible teammates in BYU and now running pro. Just like in being resilient.
In being resilient, or just how have they helped you kind of on your journey up to this point?
Yeah, they've definitely played a huge part. I think honestly, just like being able to have fun. Because it's a hard sport, right? And so like if you are working with people that you have a lot of fun with, like it just changes the entire like mindset and like focus a little bit. Like you're like, this is honestly just a really good time. Like I love training with these people. I love being with these people. They make me a better person. Like just surrounding yourself with people that share hardworking values and want to be their best. It's just a really energizing environment to be in. So I've had a lot of fun teammates that have like taught me a lot, and we've learned to enjoy the hard work, which is kind of crazy because it's hard. Like,
yeah, we train hard, you know.
Like when I have a few like weeks or something by myself, like I enjoy some alone training, but it's crazy how much easier it is when you're just with people that you love and that make it fun, you know. So I think teammates are really important and helpful with that. Yeah. But
what do some of those training sessions look like for the person that doesn't know much about track and field and what you guys really do?
It is a lot of running, a lot of cross training, a little bit of weight sessions. Just pushing yourself. Running is a very vulnerable sport. Like, you can't really fake it. That's something I've, like, come to learn about running is, like, you get a hard workout in front of you and you're going to either, like, you're either going to be able to do it or it's going to break you, kind of, you know? And so, it's a tough sport. You got to be ready to be tough in running. And so, yeah, running, weights, cross training. In the heat. It's hot right now. But
how many hours a day? So you're a professional athlete now with mm-hmm. Adidas. So it's like a full-time job. Mm-hmm. What is like your daily schedule like?
So I'll do a run. I have to warm up now. I'm not as young as I used to be. When I was at BYU, I could just wake up and go to practice and not have to stretch, you know?
Oh, wow.
But now I'm like, I need a good like 30 minutes to an hour just to like let my body wake up and maybe stretch, do some like massage gun to my whole body, my legs, just kind of wake myself up. And then say it's a workout day, I'll go do a workout, which will probably be about 10 to 11 miles total with warm up and cool down, and then go do a weight session. And right now we're doing like sauna, so to get heat acclimated for Paris and the summer racing. Then we'll take a little break and then do another session of some sort. And then, yeah, just lots of recovery, lots of fueling, and yeah, it's a lot.
Wow. I'm just amazed at the workload that you guys have. And I think as a professional athlete, the pressure's on for you to perform well, but also it's nice to have all the resources that come with that too. Mm-hmm. How big of a role does nutrition play in your life?
A lot. Yeah, I definitely think about nutrition a lot just because it's so important. You got to make sure you're fueling your body. I just think about, like, as I go through my day, I'm like, I want to be fueled for what I have to do. Because it's not going to be like a lack of fueling that's going to hold me back from having a good workout or having a good race. So just trying to be very intentional about getting in the right things and getting in a good amount, like the right amount of fuel. Lots of protein, lots of carbs, lots of vegetables, fruits, just the good stuff, you know, keep your body feeling good and feeling healthy.
What does an Olympian like you do? What's your binge food or your treat food?
Yeah, especially right now, we're not like huge on treats. We're definitely in crunch time.
You're going to be competing on the world stage.
Yes. But like lately, I've been loving ice cream, which usually I'm more of like a cake or cookie person, which I still am. I love cake and cookies, and Oreos are like the OG. Like, I will forever love Oreos.
Ride or die on the Oreos.
Yes, always. Always. So like, honestly, and like an Oreo shake just hits it for me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that will always satisfy. It's so good. But
we need to get you like a sponsorship deal with like Dairy Queen or something.
That would
like
be bad Oreo. For me though.
That would be bad. It would be bad for you. You'd be out there all the time?
I'd be there all the time. Or I'd want to be. It'd be too it's too free, you know? If it's free, what are you supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do? You have to take a bit.
You have to. Or I'd be like giving ice cream to everyone, which I don't know, whatever. Maybe I'll have more friends.
Maybe you have more friends. Okay. I want to ask this question then. How have you dealt with kind of the increased attention that you've had? People know you. They know the name Whitney Morgan. And I mean, you've really handle that throughout college too. I'm sure that kind of prepped you to this point. But how have you handled people knowing who you are?
Yeah, that's such an interesting like feeling, I guess, because I don't view myself any different. You know, like I view myself the exact same as anybody else, like truly. And so when people like, I'm like, yes, we work really hard and we've achieved some cool things, like being an Olympian is really cool. I'm like blown away, you know, but I am just like a normal person. And so like it's different because I do view myself like that. So I'm getting a lot of attention. I'm like, I'm just a woman. I'm just a girl, you know, like I
could learn like a lot everyone
more.
Else.
Yeah. I'm like, I could learn a lot more from you than you probably could about from me. But, so it is interesting. Cause I'm not big on the attention. I'd rather be a little bit behind. I just like the achievement and like the hard work and the goal setting and achieving part of it. I don't necessarily love the attention. I appreciate the like support. It is really, it's like so great, and I appreciate it so much. So I'm not like discounting all the great things that people have been saying and reaching out and doing. I do really appreciate it, but yeah, it's just weird because you just see yourself as a normal person.
You're so. Like, I was in Penguich just like a couple of years ago, yeah. And now I'm like in Paris.
Yeah. And I believe anyone can do things like this, you know, like just if you have like the mind, like if you're willing to put in the work and willing to like figure out what maybe is your niche, you know, I believe anyone can be like this level at anything, you know, whatever is their thing. And so, I don't know, that's maybe why I feel weird when people are giving me lots of attention. But no, it is, it's really nice at the same time. But
I love that. That is, what did not answer? I'll cut my weird response out of this, but that was awesome.
Like, thanks.
That's so good. Let's talk about the Olympic trials. What was your mindset going into that?
Yeah, so that was a really cool experience just because I did have surgery in November, the end of November. And so going into it, like, I did have big goals because workouts were going well. There's so many miracles that allowed me to have opportunities that, like, training earlier, like getting in more training, like I was 3 weeks ahead in surgery, like from post-op, like my recovery, I was 3 weeks ahead of where I should have been. So many little things happened where, like, I actually, my chances were growing slowly throughout the season. So, like, it was really exciting. It was exciting because, like, I felt like I had nothing to lose, but also, like, who knows? You know what I mean? And I already knew, like I was going to give it everything. So I'm like, whatever happens, like, it's going to be good. I'm going to give it everything. I've been given this opportunity. I'm healthy. Like, that's such a blessing. And so, yeah, I just knew I was going to give it everything. And I've said this in a lot of different interviews, but, like, I was praying for a miracle, like, ever since surgery. And it was a miracle to be there on the line and be actually, like, pretty fit. Like, I'm like, with the time I had, I was pretty fit, you know? Yeah. So I was like, I just want to make the most of this. And, like, if I make a team, I don't. But if I do, like, that's insane. And the whole thing was just, it's just been a miracle. The whole season, the whole buildup, it's just been a big, like, miracle. So
that is such an interesting, like, experience that you had there, where you placed fifth, but in those final laps, the option was probably around. You knew that, hey, if they finish there, then they might scratch, and so then I could get in. Was that going through your mind the last couple of laps, or were you just like, I'm just running right now?
Well, I definitely thought of those things before the race. Like, I talked to Coach T, and she was like, if you get top five, like, mainly she was more focused, like, if you get top four, there is a really great chance. Top five, though, you still have a shot, you know? And so, like, before, I definitely had that in mind. So I was going for it, you know? Like, I really did give it everything I had. But those last few laps, like, if you want to finish sometimes, like, I wasn't on full, you know, I was on empty.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to finish, you're just, like, laser focused to conserve every bit of energy you have. Just put it to the legs, you know, let the legs and the lungs take all the energy, and my mind can just turn off, you know? So yeah, definitely just trying to, like, shut it out and just stay focused and try and finish as fast as I possibly could, which wasn't fast. I finished kind of slow. I died the last few laps, but that's all I had. So yeah.
You gave it your all. There is a great photo, too, that we'll put out, too, somewhere. But it's of you just, like, dead on the ground after. Yeah. But yeah. You gave it everything you had there.
Yeah. No, I definitely did. And you can never have any regrets when you do that. And so that's kind of my goal when I run, is I'm like, I just don't want to have regrets. I'm just going to full send, give it my all, and then we can have fun after this, you know?
What a good attitude to have. What's your expectations out of Paris, like, performance-wise?
I feel like it's just, like I said, I'm just riding the miracle train. Like, it's a miracle that I'm going. And so I just want to, like, show a little gratitude for this opportunity that I have and just work as hard as I can with what I've been given, and just squeeze out as much fitness as I can these next few weeks before Paris, and just kind of, like, see if I can surprise myself, you know, like we talked about. But yeah, I'd love to make a final. If I made a final, that would be amazing. And yeah, anything I get, I'm just gonna do my best, you know, and just enjoy the experience, because it's truly a miracle. So
it's something that, like, only a few handful of people ever get to experience, is the Olympic Games, participating in them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that is so great to have. Do you have another side thing that you're excited? Oh, I'm happy for the opening ceremonies. I'm excited for that, or the swag that you guys get. Is there something else you're like, oh, that's cool?
Well, I, like, we were kind of talking about with the processing. That was really, really fun to, like, try on the uniforms and, like, just see what they give Olympians, you know, like, that kind of, like, was insane. I never had experienced anything like that. They just treat Olympians good, you know? And so I'm really excited to get my gear. They're going to be sending it within the next few days. So it's just cool to have a uniform that says USA, you know, like, it's a dream, you know, to be able to run for the US on the world stage. So I'm just really excited.
Well, and that whole processing event where you get all that gear too, I bet you and James Corrigan probably had a similar experience where both of you weren't officially in yet, but you're trying it on and having the photo shoots. And James in one interview was just saying like, man, this would be cool to wear in a perfect world. And like a week later, he goes, oh, I get to have this.
That's like exactly how it was for me, except like I feel like the first half, like I was really sad. Like I felt just like a little underwhelmed with my performance, and then I still had to go do processing. And so like I was still sorting through the emotions of like not making it. And so going through processing, like the first like probably 10, 15 minutes, I was like fighting back tears. Like this kind of sucks. Like I'm sad. Like I'm seeing what I'm missing, you know, like I was so close. And so like, it's a long process. So luckily I had plenty of time to get through those emotions. And I feel like the second half of it, I just decided like, I'm just going to enjoy this. Like I've never done this before. I've never done team processing before. I've never like seen this. I've never seen how they treat Olympians like this before. And it's really cool. So I'm just going to embrace it and enjoy it. And if I do get to go, like at least I can have a positive experience like attached to this. And I do get to go. So I'm really glad that I decided to enjoy it because it was really cool. It was really, really cool.
That's so fun. Okay, we're going to enter our lightning round of questions. Cool. And so one of them that I want to ask you is, who's someone that you look up to in your life? Could be running related or not, but just first one that comes to the top of your mind.
This is lightning, huh?
It could be. Lightning's quick, but this could be a slower lightning
strike. You should call it
strike.
Like snail.
Snail thing round.
For me. Snail round for me because my brain needs a second. Who do I look up to? Not in running,
it could
just
be
in life.
Anything. Yeah.
Okay. There's so many people. I feel like a big one, like I just always have to give Coach T some love because she's amazing. She's so inspiring. She's so passionate. She's so hardworking. She balances so many things and she gives all that she has in what she's doing. Like she doesn't go halfway in anything. Like if she's doing it, she's going to give it her all. And I feel like the way she lives is it's a cool life. Like she lives a really incredible life and she's just done so much for me. Like she's done so much for so many people and she's changed so many lives. And like, I feel like she's opened my eyes to like having a deeper purpose in what you're doing. And like running isn't like a shallow thing we do. Like her athletes don't do it with like a shallow purpose, or if they begin like that, by the end of their career with her, it's been a little bit more meaningful and more more meaningful, I would say. And so I don't know. I really look up to the way she approaches life and just the intentionality she puts behind everything she does. And so I really look up to her.
That is an amazing answer. I've seen just glimpses of my time working with the team there, but she's a powerhouse.
She seriously is. If you want to like get the most out of yourself, maybe just surround yourself around her a little bit and just learn from her.
Find yourself a Coach T
in
your life.
if you can find one of those, you will be okay.
All right. Next question. What is your favorite running shoe? I guess you're an Adidas athlete.
I am.
But
three stripes.
From the Adidas line, what's your favorite shoe? Or Spike?
Ooh. I really love the new Spikes that they have now. Or this latest drop. They're like the black ones. They're Avantes. That's Spikes. They're really good. I really like them. They are very bouncy and light and... yeah, you just feel really fast in those. So
nice. Pre-race superstitions or things that you do.
I pick a pair of earrings like every season that are like my race earrings. And so like I got to have those in. So this year I have like these black and gold like lightning bolt. They're
cool.
Really cute. I got them from this farmer's market in Springville from this little girl that like made them.
Oh.
And they're so cute. And I'm like, yeah, so those are my race earrings. this year.
You need to get like big hoops or something.
True. Like, but could you run a 5K with big hoops?
I don't
hoops?
Know if you can do a 5K. I've seen it in the sprint documentary. Yeah. See, they have all that.
I know. It's only 10 seconds for them though. If you're That's running for true. 15 minutes and you got a
and you
big
got
hoop, like
swinging.
It's probably like going to be on top of your ear when you're done or something. But
nice. Well, that's kind of the end of kind of my questions, but is there anything that like we haven't talked about that's just kind of been on your mind during this whole time of your life that would be fun to talk about?
Yeah, I feel like the best thing for me to end this with is just like God is a God of miracles. And like I didn't know if I was going to make the team, but like I committed to like keeping my faith and keeping trusting God anyway, despite what happens. And like this time it worked out really amazingly, but like not saying that it always has, but like that's something I've learned, like to just trust God and like he'll take care of you, whether it's what you wanted, which this time it was, or it's not. Like it's been a spiritual experience for me this season and this comeback from surgery and just the whole process. And like, truly, like, all glory to God, like, for this one. I could not have done it alone. So, yeah, just super blessed and super grateful.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We wish you all the best in Paris. And just thank you for taking the time to not just understand you as an athlete, but you as a person, too. And so best of luck and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Wow, what a remarkable individual Whitney is. I'm so grateful that I got to spend time with Whitney and pick her brain on what she's going through as she approaches the starting line in Paris. The first round of the women's steeplechase is slated for Friday, August 2nd, with coverage on the NBC family of networks. Cougar Gold is partnered with BYU Athletics and produced by Cleon Wall, Ethan Horn, and Jonas Guffey. Episodes are available on BYUradio.org, the BYU Radio app, and wherever you can find podcasts.